The sermon passage this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There, in front of him, was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on a Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seats." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Verse 13, then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This morning, we're very glad to have Reverend Nikki to share with us God's Word. Sermon title is "The Way of God's Kingdom." Reverend Nikki, please.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, let us pray, shall we? Father, as we come into your holy presence, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been with us. We thank you for the worship team which has led us through a time of worship that is sensitive to your Spirit's guidance and to the words that you have led us to sing. We praise you and thank you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, and cause us to pay attention to what you may be saying to us and respond to you, Lord, in worshipful obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a few days since we read in the news of the ceasefire announcement for the Gaza war. In fact, I just read in the news this morning that President Trump is heading to the Middle East, and today they are convening a meeting for that. And it is welcome news. But as we have also read, that the troubled situation in the Gaza is far from over. And such tragic events continue to affect all of us. The Ukraine war continues. It's already a couple of years at least into that. And recently we have the Cambodia-Thailand border dispute. We read more about the economic war that shows up the fears, the anger, the selfishness, and the judgmental attitudes that people have. We also read of violent crimes at our home, discrimination and prejudices because of gender, religion, race, whatever that might be. Today's passage tells us that God's kingdom is entirely different from the ways of the world. The way of God's kingdom is one of compassion, humility, and generosity. Those who follow Jesus as Lord and Savior belong to God's kingdom. The church is part of God's kingdom. And as 21st century Christians, do we know what the kingdom of God is? What does it have to do with us, with me? And in Luke 14, Jesus actually was on his way to Jerusalem, in fact, to face the cross. And along the way, his teaching about God's kingdom is provocative and countercultural. He challenges people to rethink what it means to live as kingdom people. And Jesus reveals to us God's kingdom is here, right now. It may be invisible to the naked eye, but Jesus said that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And in these few verses, Jesus shows us the way of God's kingdom. Okay. And he shows us that God's kingdom is one of compassion. His people are to be compassionate rather than self-righteous. It is not about right beliefs only, about God and following closely each regulation and rule of the Bible, because this can lead to self-righteous attitudes. The kingdom of God is motivated by divine convention. You see, Jesus was frustrated with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the prominent Jewish leaders because of their unbelief and hard-heartedness towards him. They were watching Jesus closely. They were trying to catch him doing and saying something against law. In fact, this incident here in chapter 14 is similar to another incident in Luke 13. When Jesus healed a crippled woman on the Sabbath. And in that incident, it happened at a synagogue. Jesus saw this crippled woman and he healed her. And the leader of the synagogue was angry that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Jesus then gave the leader a good scolding for being hypocritical. And here in Luke 14, Jesus was invited by a prominent Pharisee to his house for dinner. Not just any meal, it was a Sabbath meal. To be invited by a Pharisee to a meal is actually a high honor. Now think about it. Just a chapter, in fact, several chapters just before here, the Pharisees had been attacking Jesus, and yet now one of them invited him to eat with him. And you know, in the Middle East, to be invited to a meal means that they treat you like a good friend with prestige. So maybe something is amiss. Because it says here in the text that the leaders were careful. They watched Jesus to see if he will do it again. Do what again? Now notice that a man suffering was in front of Jesus. Was he invited to the meal? Or was he planted there by the Pharisees? They are more interested in holding on to their orthodox beliefs than knowing the truth. The Pharisees were more interested in proving Jesus wrong than understand the reason for Sabbath. The kingdom of God is not just about having right interpretation, but it is about compassion. The Jewish leaders were so stuck in their attitudes that they forgot about the purpose of God's law, which is to display his character. You see, the Pharisees were so perfect in their orthodoxy, meaning to say their right beliefs, it became dead orthodoxy. Their religiosity, their sense of religiousness, instead of being life-giving, becomes legalistic and self-righteous. They became judgmental. And when confronted by Jesus' audacity to heal a man of dropsy, which is what this very swollen joints is really about, they justified themselves by obeying their own interpretation of the law, which is not to work on the Sabbath, because healing is considered working. And part of the Jewish beliefs at the time was that dropsy is a sign of God's judgment due to the man's sinfulness. And so instead of rethinking what the purpose of the Sabbath is, they held on to their self-righteous beliefs. They wanted to catch Jesus going against God's law. Before he healed the man, Jesus asked the Pharisees this question: is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Now they were silent. The silence could mean one of two things. Either they know the answer and prove that Jesus is right, or they don't know the answer. Both answers would actually make them look really bad. And so Jesus healed the man and sent him away. Clearly, that man was not a guest of the Pharisee. So it's likely he was planted there by the Pharisees. And then Jesus reminded the Pharisees, look, if it's your own property, your animal that's trapped in a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you have rescued them? In other words, isn't the life of a human worth of much more than an animal? Now, by the way, instead of child and ox, which was read in the NIV, the translation should be donkey and ox. See, the purpose of the Sabbath is to rest in God and is for the well-being of God's people. And healing is a part of that. The Sabbath is made for people and not the other way around. And the way of God's kingdom is compassion and wholeness and not blind obedience that becomes self-righteousness, legalistic, and even moralistic. Jesus may have broken the Pharisees' regulations, but not God's law. There is one law that supersedes such regulations, and that is the law of mercy. For to show mercy on the Sabbath or on any day is of greater love for God and men. And you can check this out in the Old Testament of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Our judgmental and self-righteous confidence can blind us to God, to what God wants to do. Now, as if showing up their distorted sense of righteousness is not enough, Jesus then shines a light on what these Pharisees really think of themselves. And so, in verse 7, after observing what these guests were doing, Jesus told them a parable. Now, please, don't mistake about the parable that what Jesus is telling them is to have better table manners or dining etiquette. Jesus was telling them the gift of God's kingdom. A parable is a story taken from everyday life but has a spiritual significance, a spiritual meaning. And in those times, the banquet dining table was usually sort of put together, arranged in an U shape. And the host is seated at the base of the table. And the seats of high honor are to his right and left, and followed by lesser honored seats, something like this in the slide you can see here. Quite often, the most honored guests arrive very late. They are usually the latest, which is not unlike some of our Chinese wedding banquet, right? Where the VIP guests, maybe they come after almost 2 hours later, then the official dinner begins. And noticing that the guests tend to seat themselves in the more prominent and honorable seats at the banquet, Jesus warned them about being shamed if someone more distinguished comes later. You know, because if that were to happen, the host will come and will bump them off to a place of lower honor, further away from the host, which is where the highest honor is. Of course, they will be terribly embarrassed and greatly shamed. And in ancient Middle Eastern culture, shame and honor are a big part of their culture. It is important to their identity, their worth, their reputation, their character. Of course, we know that this is still true, even in some Asian cultures like traditional Chinese culture, in some of our social circles. Not only is the person shamed, not only does he or she lose face, in some cases, not only his family, but his whole village, whole town, whole clan would know about his disgrace. Jesus is not simply addressing the Jewish guests. He's saying this, that unless we have a humble spirit and recognize that we are undeserving of God's mercy and grace, we would end up like the guest who mistakenly thinks that he deserves honorable treatment in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is a gift. The parable is pointing to a larger reality. God is the host of the banquet. He alone exalts those guests who are humble and humbles those guests who think of themselves highly. Now, at the same time, all of us are at the same banquet table as Jesus. Remember, the kingdom of God is often described as a time and a place of feasting, celebrating. In Revelation, when Jesus returns, we are all invited to the wedding banquet of Jesus the Lamb. God in Jesus is the host, the one who throws the party for undeserving guests. But Jesus is also the guest who is the least, who chooses a lowly place and serves the other guests. We are reminded of his washing of the feet, the giving of his life. And God in turn exalts Jesus to the highest place of honor. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 11, we are reminded of this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself to exalt those guests who are humble, who know they do not deserve to be at the banquet. Jesus moved them up to the seat of great honor. The kingdom of God is a gift given to those who are humble. There is no need and no place for self-promotion. Well, yes, we are church. This is a church. But you know, even in the church, there are always temptations for people, for the need to look good. And I don't mean good table manners, good dressing, or putting on nice cosmetics. We want to be noticed for our talents, our skills, our experience, our abilities. On the flip side, we don't give much thought to people who are not like us. In our minds, we don't respect them, or we don't think well of them, or consider them better than ourselves. But Jesus says the kingdom of God is a gift, and only those who understand it and are humble, these people will know the privilege of being exalted by Jesus. Now, we may think that maybe Jesus is too harsh on the Pharisees, you know, on these guests. Really? He asked the Pharisees, why do you do good? Of course, not in this way. Why do you love people who can love you back? You see, again, Jesus shines a light on their motivation for acts of love towards others. You know, something like reciprocal favors. You see, in those times, it is common for the rich and the honorable class to show favor to those who could repay them favors. And that's why Jesus challenged his host. Why show hospitality to people who can repay you? To get something back in return, of course. You scratch his back, and he scratches yours. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying not to show love to your friends, your relatives, your brothers or sisters, or even rich people. I don't think he's saying that. And there are probably enough of people who do that anyway. However, there are many people who should have our attention and who probably cannot repay our acts of love. Jesus says, invite the down and out, the disadvantaged, those who probably cannot do anything for you, but who will always be on the receiving end of blessings. Do good to people who probably cannot repay you anything in this lifetime. Now, this is quite a startling challenge for the Israelites. To reach out to the crippled, the lame, the blind, the poor with a meal, that is quite outrageous. First of all, the common Jews' perception of these people are that they deserve to be crippled. They deserve to be lame or blind because they brought it on themselves. In other words, they are poor, lame, crippled, and blind, probably because it's God's judgment on their sins. Second, to eat with these people is to be in the same fellowship, to extend a hand of friendship to sinners. Didn't the Pharisees say not to eat with sinners? But Jesus says, everyone who gets into God's kingdom gets in because of God's generosity. People do not get into the kingdom of God because of their own righteousness. God is generous to us even when we do not deserve it. Even when we were his enemies, we can never repay him anything. But what kind of God's people are we? People who study the Bible diligently? People who join all the prayer meetings? People who go to church faithfully or attend it online faithfully? People who attend CGs regularly or even give towards missions? Did we forget to live out the compassion of God unreservedly? Because we have received the gift of God's kingdom freely and can never repay him, we are even more blessed to give others who may never repay our kindness. You know, maybe today, without the Old Testament laws of ceremonial cleansing, you know, because if you want to show and reach out to people with dropsy, leprosy, crippled, you need to go through ceremonial cleansing after that. It's not difficult for us to show love to the lame, the blind, the orphaned, the handicapped, the poor, the marginalized, or even minority people. You know, those poor little people, those misfits, as Eugene Peterson called them in his translation. Maybe that's what we are here for. To show love, kindness to such. But hey, don't ask me to befriend that auntie at the shop who scolded me, or the neighbor who stole my plants, or that colleague who is a transgender, maybe a lesbian, or the family who kept defending their child when she was the one who bullied my child in school. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time getting to know sinners, including what some would call immoral people. You know, we like to get together with people that we like, people we are comfortable with because they talk the same way, they are on the same wavelength, they share the same interests, and they move in the same circles. After all, birds of a feather flock together. The way of God's kingdom is the way of generosity, not just in finances and resources, but also in our spirit and attitude towards people who are not like us. It is very easy for us to fall into an attitude thinking that people are poor because they are lazy, or if only they work hard enough. But do all of us grow up in the same kind of environment as you do? Jesus says to the host, be generous, whether people deserve it or not, whether we like them or not, and especially when they can't repay you at all. I come from a large family, and I have 6 other half-brothers and sisters. And actually, more than 15 years ago, one of my half-sister's son, my nephew, got himself into a lot of trouble. He got into football betting. By the time he was 25, he had already lost $25,000 in a matter of days. And most of it was due to high interest rates accrued because he borrowed from loan sharks. Time and again, my family members, my cousins, and even myself tried to help him, gave him money to repay the loans. But time and again, he got back into the same habit. He resorted to lying and even cheated my father, that is his grandfather, into letting him use his credit card to borrow money from the bank. The thing that made my family not want to have anything more to do with my nephew was when one of my half-brothers died of a heart attack at age 48. After his death, we found out he had maxed out his credit cards to borrow money from the bank to help my nephew repay the loans to the loan sharks. And most likely, due to the pressures, the stress of repaying the banks, it was too much for my half-brother, who has a history of heart problems. And one day while at work, he collapsed and died of a heart attack, leaving behind, at the time, 2 teenage children and his wife. Should my family stop reaching out, stop showing kindness to this nephew, just cut him off? Or should we continue to show compassion and generosity, but wisely, though he may never ever repent or repay us? When we are compassionate and generous to people who cannot repay us, We are blessed, Jesus says, because we ourselves are always indebted to our compassionate, humble, and generous God. And God takes into account everything that we do in His name for people in need. And He will repay us in full as people who are righteous at the resurrection, as people who follow the way of God's kingdom. My friends, the way of God's kingdom is a radical reversal of the culture and values of our society. Our society is built on meritocracy. You know, meritocracy basically means that if you work hard based on your abilities, you can go far and high in position and wealth and standing. Meritocracy works well for a secular society to keep things fair and efficient in a secular society. But what about those, as we say here in Singapore, who cannot make it? The kingdom of God shows us a different way in our relationship with one another. As God's people, we have to be clear-eyed about God's way. Compassion instead of self-righteousness, humility instead of self-importance, and generosity without strings attached, without any ROI, returns on investment. This is the way of God's kingdom. He shows us the way, especially towards those who can't make it. But then again, which of us can really make it if not for God's grace? It runs counter to the world's way of self-righteousness, self-promotion, and giving only when there is self-benefit. Which way are you following? Let us pray. And so, Father, as we come before you, thank you for reminding us about your way. Because on our own, we can never make it. Most importantly, we can never make it into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way. Not only showing us the way, but you became the way in order for us to be part of your kingdom. Help us. Speak to us as we reflect on the reflection questions. May we truly be open to your Spirit working in us to follow the way of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.